Jammers.
Wait, what's the ship?
Jammers,
the Selfish Health Podcast.
Jammers.
Holy shit, I'm Wendy Starling.
Hello.
I'm Megan Rice.
And.
Hey.
Stephen Penta. And
real stoked to be here.
Should we try to actually bring in guests and help people?
Ooh.
I mean, like, it's Selfish Health.
Jammers.
We made up a term. We can do whatever the fuck we want.
Stephen has a vision board that just has the word professional written on it over and over again.
Yeah.
I just have that written above my mirror every time I look at it. It
right.
Says professional.
It's two pink coffins.
Right.
And the words professional written all over a piece of construction paper.
Ooh, look at this.
Oh, my God.
So what? I made tea because I made my echinacea tea, and it's yogi tea. And then I took some dandelion tea for my liver. And I got two little pods.
Yeah, that'll fix it.
Yeah. Can I trade this for money for a new liver? Is there a coupon for a new liver in this tea packet?
I think if you get it, that's the lucky tea.
Yeah.
That's their promotion they're running. It's like getting like a free ticket to Disneyland and a box of Coke.
Yeah. I found these two quotes. Oh, give happiness and you will end up. I'm not reading these. This is stupid.
Yeah, I was going to say gross. I'm slow.
Yeah.
Give happiness and blah.
Give happiness and get kicked in the cunt because nobody cares and people are going to be shitty to you anyway.
And we're all going to die.
Jammers.
That's the whole quote, right? It just didn't fit on the tea bag.
I like it. Let me look on the backside. Oh, you're right. On the backside of the tea quote, it's two pink coffins. Son of a bitch. Steven?
Sorry.
I wonder if you can get a pink coffin at Costco. I'll go check. I'm
sure. Yeah.
I would like the Lisa Frank model. Thank you.
Oh, yes. That'd be great. I found when I was going through all my mom's shit, I found my, because she kept fucking everything I've talked about. She had everything I've ever touched. My mom's kept. She had my Lisa Frank sticker book. Like I had, you know, remember they had those books and you just like peel stickers off a piece of paper and then stick it on another piece of paper inside of a book.
You know, stickers.
Because they teach little girls to be very stupid very early. They're like, this is a hobby. Occupy your brain space with sticking a sticker on a piece of paper.
Are you done playing with Barbies?
Here's the next step in female evolution.
And now they're vision boards.
Wait.
So I threw it away. I found it. And she was like, what are you doing? And I was like, what am I going to do with 25-year-old stickers? They don't stick anymore.
Yeah.
Hey,
I'm going to put it in my apartment. Have a dinner party. Would anyone like to see this multicolored unicorn eating a cupcake? Because I've got it right here in this sticker book.
Ladies.
I got a whole book full of pink Dalmatians.
Oh, my God. Did you throw it away in front of your mom?
Yes.
Is she?
I wasn't hiding things.
Yeah. Well, because you have to find a storage unit. I mean,
you just stomped on it in front of her.
Yeah, I did. I ripped it in front of her face and then spit on it.
And you're like, and unicorns aren't even real.
Yeah, and then she just collapsed in a heap. Surrounded by all of her things. She did say something really, because she was really upset that I was just very coldly when I brought Preston. Because he has no emotional connection to any of this shit.
Right.
Yeah.
So he, like a box full of like 200 baby books. And was like, this is Goodwill. And she's like,
baby,
you know, when I go.
Baby books, 200.
Like my children books. She kept every, like every Berenstain
books,
Bear book. Yeah,
oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, Goodwill.
Like all that shit.
Should we explain why you're doing this so people don't think you're just like a terrible person who's just throwing your mom's shit away?
Wait.
I prefer that way. It's just like she doesn't even need to go through stuff. I'm just like, we're getting rid of it. Everything I ever touch.
Yeah, this is, welcome to Jammers. This is Jammers.
In case you haven't figured that out yet.
Yeah, this is Jammers and this is a jam sesh. And this is a pretty intense topic we're doing today.
Yeah.
But it's good.
Is it intense?
Yeah.
Yeah, because we're never intense. So we thought we'd turn a new leaf.
Yeah.
Wow. Finally, my time to
real
shine.
Aggressive.
I know. Yeah. So what's going on? Why are you clearing out all your mom's shit?
Okay. Well, so what we're going to talk about today is getting rid of toxic people from your life.
Oh.
And right? Lisa
kind
Frank.
Of, sort of.
Right.
And Lisa Frank, that fucking bitch. I've been looking for a hot pink Dalmatian my whole fucking life.
Yep.
That shits glitter. I was lied to. Can't find it, so fuck her. She's in the trash.
Take that bitch.
Go in the trash.
Fuck you, Lisa Frank.
Yeah, well, I've kind of talked about, like, on the last few episodes that, like, my life's a little stressful right now.
Going through
a little bit. You've kind of I feel like we get a glimpse, a tiny glimpse, tiny peek.
I've been a little more exhausted than normal, which is already 100% exhausted. So now I've been 120% exhausted the past few weeks. So my dad's a real piece of shit. I just want to get that out there. He's been a piece of shit my whole life. Nobody has ever liked him.
Is he a piece of shit?
That he's okay. I'll give an example. And this is, I used to have a joke about it because my mom's always been like, why don't you write more jokes about your dad? And I'm like, because it isn't funny. Like, it's one of those things where I'm just like, yeah, I'm like, it isn't funny. It's very sad. So this is funny. But my dad, one thing he said to my mom many years ago, which I always remembered, was, you're so dumb. If you had a lobotomy, nobody would notice. So that is a very funny burn to say,
right,
to a person, but not to like your wife and my mother. So that's like the kind of guy my dad is.
That's that kind of burn that like you see someone make in a couple situation and you're just like, yeah.
To be fair, are you 100% sure they were just not auditioning for Roast Battle because it's coming back to Comedy Central?
Yeah, that's true. 20 years ago, my dad was like, oh, it's going to be here someday. One of these days.
What if we did
a big break?
Guys, what if we did a roast battle of just elderly couples?
Oh, that would not be funny. People would just be very sad.
Plus. Yeah. That's it. Roast.
Yeah, just, hey, have you been broken down by your husband for 40 years? Perfect. Come on this new show on Comedy Central. It's a laugh riot.
I feel like the women would crush. Because I feel like this is their first time where it's like, no, you can't talk now.
I don't know if you'd be able to form jokes. I think you might just scream and yell and throw plates.
Yeah. I think that would be more. You just give them all sorts of weird old, like a mace, like weird old timey implements of torture and destruction. Just like, right. Go at it. The men can have their words. You get this right. Iron Maiden.
Right. You get tools. So how old were you when your dad said that to your mom? Were you there?
Like 12. Yeah. I don't know, like 12. So he's just like a real piece of shit. And he's always done that. He's always like said terrible things to me and terrible things to my mom. And it's like a real long, exasperating fucking situation. And they got divorced. And then my mom screwed up money. She's not good with money. So then like she moved back with my dad for financial reasons.
Oh.
And then she got really sick, which I think we've talked about. My mom has pancreatic cancer. So like that created like another layer of like, she can't really get out of the situation.
Right.
Can I ask how old were your mom and your dad when they got together?
Oh God. I think my mom was like 27 or something.
Okay.
I think. Yeah. She was in her late 20s. He was like 30 something. But yeah, so that it's just like this shitty situation and I can't be around my dad anymore. Like I haven't been able to for a long time. Like that's a reason we go to Preston's families for like Christmas and stuff. Cause I can't be around my dad that long. Like I'd say like 2 hours is my max cap before I want to murder him.
Right.
Which and is a lot also, of times, and,
he's bringing a dog to a restaurant. So you're not wrong.
Which is real annoying. I fucking hate that.
That's a real thing he does.
Yeah, he's obsessed with his dog. Well, because he has no friends, because he's a real piece of shit and he's like pushed everyone out his whole life. So he just loves this stupid blind idiot dog. Louie's very cute. Yeah. Very stupid. Very cute. But yeah, he brings him everywhere. He got a fucking stroller for the dog. I'm not even going to. Ugh. He's an insane person.
You got a stroller for the dog?
Yes. Like, you know, when you see like a crazy old homeless person, you're like, oh, that's so sad. That's my dad. That's my father.
Well, that's what you should have done with those Lisa Frank stickers.
Put him in a stroller?
Put him on the stroller.
This is my hot pink Dalmatian. You want to see it? And people are like, oh, Jesus. Oh, God. Yeah, and Preston's always been real good about like kind of running interference with him. And I deal with him for my mom. But then this was, I don't know, when did this happen? Like 2 months? Not even. Like 6 weeks ago?
Yeah.
So my dad drinks a lot. Like he's had the shakes for a while. But he never drinks in front of me. Like he'll have like a beer with lunch. I've never seen my dad drunk. I've seen my dad drunk maybe like once in my life.
Yeah.
But he drinks a lot. So he went into the hospital for what we eventually found out was DTs.
What is DTs? So,
delirium tremens, like severe alcoholism withdrawal.
Oh.
Yes. Really?
Yeah. So I, you know, went up and helped my mom with stuff, and he was like knocked out for 5 days. It's like very serious. Like every, you know, like the fun beer, Delirium Tremens, the fun beer with the pink elephant.
I was just going to say, like, that's a great
Google
beer.
Delirium. It's horrifying. It's really, really horrifying. But like if you're not sedated, like it's like people attack people and like it's like full psychosis, essentially.
Holy shit.
Jeez. Yeah, it's real gnarly. But so I went up there and because, you know, her like she so my mom's doing a lot better, but she's very weak. She's very weak. And like, you know, she's sick. She's super sick. She has like a terminal illness. She's doing OK. But so like me and Preston went up and she took a shower while we were there because she's scared to shower in the house by herself in case she falls. Totally makes sense. She's an older lady and she's sick.
Right.
So I'm like, you can't stay in this situation with him. He's drinking. Like he threatened to bop her, is what? His words at the hospital. Like when he was in the hospital because he wanted something.
He threatened to bop her?
Yeah. Oh, that's the other thing. He's diabetic and he doesn't take care of himself. So he went into the hospital. His blood sugar was like, I want to say it was like 6 something. It was 4 something or 6 something. Your average blood sugar should be like below 200.
Has he
right after you eat.
Has he bopped her in the past? I mean, is that a real
thing? Says he's never hit her. I've never seen him hit her. He's just like very verbally and emotionally abusive. But so I'm talking and she's like, I know. And I'm like, you have to get out of this situation. You can't take care of him. You know, if he falls or something, like, and she tries to help him up and she falls, it's just like, whatever. And she's really fighting it. Then I go to pick him up at the hospital, which I'm not looking forward to doing. And at the hospital, I tell him, like, you know, I know why you're here. Cause he also doesn't think I know he's diabetic. He doesn't want me to know like any of his medical history. It's so weird. The layers of insanity with this man are beyond. It's crazy.
He thinks you don't know he's diabetic.
Yes.
Has your dad been like this his whole life, or is this increase? He's always just.
Oh well, I think.
I mean, do you know where it stems
I think the older
from?
You
or like,
get, I think the just, well, my dad had a hard. Up. My dad had a hard life. Like I'll give him that. Yeah. He had a hard life. He got fucked over a lot. Grew up really poor, but so do loads of people. You know what I mean? Like
right.
You don't get to rock that excuse your whole life.
Yeah.
Right. They're not all walking around with dogs and strollers.
Yeah. Exactly. Calling their wives idiots.
Right. Eating pie like it's nobody's business.
Yeah. Just whole pies with diabetes.
If you have all these things and you are just making it worse, I mean, if you're making no effort to.
Oh, well, yeah, totally. I mean, but whatever. So
you pick him up.
I picked him and I told him, I was like, you have to stop drinking. And I was like, you have to think about mom. And he immediately was like, this has never happened my whole life. And I'm like, I know, but you're in your 70s. You're getting older. Like, yeah, I'm 31 and I can't drink the same way I drank when I was 21.
Right. Yeah.
My hangovers are worse. When you get older, your body changes. You can't do the same things you did when you were younger. And he just like got real pissed and this conversation's over and whatever. And I was just like, Jesus. Oh, side note. So they're getting kicked out of where they live because they rent a condo from a lady who's selling the condo. So we find this out while he's in the hospital.
Holy shit.
So we're like, we have to tell him. So that's why I'm like, this is kind of a good situation to get my mom out. But they need to move. Either way. So he's being a real asshole to me. And then we get back to the house. And my mom tells him, you know, they have to move. And he takes it really well. Took it pretty well, which I was very surprised
really?
About. Like he was like, oh, I guess we can look at this like a positive situation because we have a lot of stuff to go through and get rid of. And I'm like, oh, wow. So I got a little excited that he was not being a complete cunt about this initially. So I'm like, okay. I was like, yeah, like we've been talking about it. And, you know, me and Preston will spend the next few weeks. We'll take a day in the middle of the week and come up. Like he'll take the day off work and we'll come up and we'll go through stuff. And he just immediately takes that as I'm trying to like control the situation. He has like a big problem with people telling him what to do.
Yeah.
Right.
And so he takes this as I'm trying to tell him, which I wasn't. I'm trying to be helpful.
Right.
You're just trying to be helpful.
Yeah, you're just.
So he loses his mind. I can't remember everything he said to me, but like, I'm a parasite and I'm worthless and Preston's worthless and a piece of shit and Preston's family's a piece of shit and he doesn't have a daughter.
What?
Like a lot of, it was a lot of stuff. I really truly can't remember it, which I realized driving home
does
from Ventura because
like,
I had an hour and a half to think about it that I was like, oh, I can't remember because I really don't care.
Does he like run manic where like he just says the craziest things just to hurt you or is he like very consciously like?
No, he's always been that way where he says the most hurtful things he can to you. And then he'll immediately, like, 20 minutes later, like, nothing happened.
Right. Which is the kind hardest. Of
like
his
MO. He's like, I don't have a daughter. And you're like, Jesus Christ, I'll get the Lisa Frank book. Would you people fucking... sorry. God damn it. Fucking shit.
I'll get the books back from Goodwill. I'll get the 200 Berenstain Bears books back from Goodwill. God
damn.
But I feel like that's the hardest when you have a family member that runs manic like that, where they say things where you're like, they just say the most ruthless, terrible things straight to your face and have that evil when they do it. And then when they're out of it, they're just like, so we're cool. Right?
Yeah, that's exactly how he functions.
That's like gaslighting. And that's why people, when they get in those situations where you're with somebody like that, it's so hard to get out, because you'll be like, you're being an asshole. And then they're like, everything's cool. And you're like, is everything cool? I guess, am I being crazy for being mad?
Well, but the only time you put up with that is either like with a parent or someone that you have loved and been in love with so long that you feel like you can't remove them.
Yeah, but the problem is, it's not like this is like Alzheimer's or something, right, or like dementia, where like, because that happens a lot when people get Alzheimer's, is they'll become very aggressive, which makes
sense.
He's not
actually out of control with it.
This is how he's been his entire life.
Yeah.
He's like our relationship got bad when I was old enough to recognize how awful of a person he was and defend my mother.
Yeah.
That's when he stopped liking me, when I didn't just have like blind child love for my parent. Right. Do you know what I mean? Like when I could recognize like, oh, you're kind of an asshole.
Does your mother support him and just kind of tolerate it because she knows she has
to? Well, this is the thing with they've been together almost 40 years.
Yeah.
And so for 40 years, he's been telling her she's worthless and she's fat and she's lazy and she has no friends. He said, that's one thing he said that really pissed, because I was telling him that like, you know, he moved her up here to get her away from everyone she knows, so she's isolated. Like, it's all very like stereotypical, like abuse scenario stuff. And I was like, all her friends are far away. And he was like, what friends does she have? And that immediately, I was just like, fuck you. And I was like, I'm not going to sit here and name her friends, you fucking asshole. But it's like, he says shit like, and when you sit and stew in that for a fucking lifetime, you're going to be like, I am fat and I am stupid and I am lazy and I am worthless. Like, because someone's just fucking drilling it into your brain every day.
Yeah.
So I stood up, and you know, my mom, again, being in this forever, she's like, stop saying that to her. But she wouldn't leave with me that day. But I did convince, because I told her, I was like, I can't, I'm an adult now. I can take myself out of this situation. I don't need to deal with this. Preston does not need to deal with this. And my future children do not need to deal with this.
Right.
Like, they don't need to know this man. So I was like, I'm done. And I need you to be done too, because she calls me and tells me all the terrible things he says and does, but doesn't, you know, leave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so she has a sister down in Orange County where I grew up, who's willing to let my mom move in with her and has wanted that for a long time, but my mom hasn't done it. But now she's like accepting, or fingers crossed, this is all happening in the next 2 weeks. She could still totally fucking bail.
Right.
And end up staying with my dad. But I told my mom, like, if she doesn't leave, I have to also like walk away from her, because I can't do it.
Right.
Like, it's just like it truly affects my, like, I'm sure that this has loads to do, I'm sure, with all my anxiety.
Well, yeah.
You know,
especially as a kid. And like when you really, especially when it's a parent, because when you're a kid, you're like, you think your parents are perfect and everything's great. And then as you get older, you go, oh, wait, that's just a person.
Mm-hmm.
That made another person. They made me, but they're still just a regular human being. And then and it's so good to be able to break away from that, because that's why people get in abusive relationships, because they go, you mimic what you grew up with. Cause you're like, oh, that's love and that's normal. You know,
I'm very lucky. I should be a hell of a lot more fucked up than I am.
Yeah. Super
like,
lucky.
For sure. Preston should be a real piece of shit. Like, the person I ended up with, as far as like historically how you end up when you're raised in this type of situation, isn't great.
Right.
Like, he should not be the nicest person in the world.
But it's also taken you a lot of growth to get to that point. Like, I feel like this podcast is interesting because my entire relationship with Megan and like has almost all been documented actively on the show.
True.
Like, we became friends where Wendy was like, hey, we're friends now.
Don't use the word friends, Steven. Don't use the word friends.
We became acquaintances.
Colleagues.
Co-workers. Called the HR department. No, but we met doing this show. We met through FaceTime on Jammers. And now we're buds, right? We're friends. I have a friend.
I'll stick with colleagues. I feel more comfortable with colleagues. Okay. Yes, Stephen, right. We're friends.
We're coworkers.
Oh, we're friends. Oh, fine. God. Break down the fourth wall.
But it's interesting
because, like Stephen. No, I don't. But it's fine.
But I learn all this stuff about you as we go through the show. And it's like you always kind of, you have a slow reveal. It's not Wendy where it's like, I'm kicking the door in, everything's on the table. You know what I mean? With Megan, it's kind of like, oh, okay, this is your growth process. But I feel like in describing your path, you can kind of hear that you've grown into the person that you are now through
thank you,
learning
I think.
And fucking
I think
up
that's
and,
complimentary.
And yeah.
Taking those lessons. And
I speak NPR. That is a compliment.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you for translating.
I speak boring.
I brought my translator today. You've really been doing that Duolingo.
I know. Thank you. Yeah, I've been really practicing in all my different languages. But that is so crazy that you finally, so you gave your dad, so you're not talking to your dad at all?
No. And I mean, and I'll say it like, you know, he hasn't attempted to reach out to me to apologize. I was very measured, I think, in my response that day, as far as this all happened in like a 6-minute span between like, oh, this, yeah, we're moving to me begging my mom to leave with me because at that point, he's just in the kitchen getting himself a glass of water. But I wasn't nasty. Really? Like he was being, I very calmly, I was like, this is why there was no one to call when you went into the hospital. Like there's no friends to alert or family because this is how you treat people. Like no matter how close they are to you, you've pushed everyone in your life away your entire life. And of course that really pissed him off because it's true.
Yeah. Right.
And then the one thing he said that I just thought was really funny was because he was just like saying all this nasty shit to me. And I was just like, you're just not a nice person. And then he responded to that with, well, you're not a nice person. And then I laughed because I was like, that is not true. I'm a little worthless. I'll give you that. Like I'm a cunt hair worthless, but that's not true.
Yeah,
I'm a very nice person.
I'm a nice person.
I have references.
Also, like, really, this is just we're throwing insults back.
Also, you're gonna take the time to do a lobotomy.
Yeah, like a child.
Joke.
Like I'm rubber and you're glue. Yeah.
Right. And like you're gonna take time to do a lobotomy joke. No one would notice. You're gonna take time to workshop a joke that for mom an insult, but for me, you're just gonna give me my same joke back. It's like,
yeah, that's what I mean to you.
Right. That's what I mean to you. That you're just gonna repeat. You're not even gonna take time to come up with something creative and new. You're just gonna
this is
say
a terrible roast battle.
It's a lazy comedy, Dad. Show up.
I mean. And that was the last straw.
And then I was like, I can't take this lazy writing anymore.
Text me when you graduate from UCB, you cuck.
Let me know when you learn popcorning.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's because I've mentioned that I'm going through some real crazy shit.
Right.
That's what you're going through.
And trying to hopefully get my mom to, in fact, go with her sister, who, I mean, I think it would be great. So we'll see.
Yeah. It's because this is what we want to talk about. Like getting toxic people out of your life is one of the hard, it's easier when it's like a coworker, but even some people have hard times even like leaving jobs that they don't like.
Oh, I've had toxic bosses and it's just such a complicated thing. I mean, I have one boss where like we all, as his former assistant and coworkers and colleagues, we still get together and laugh about how ridiculous it was. But at the same time, you're never totally, it's fucked up because I think about it, you know, when you read all the stories that are coming out now about sexual assault or sexual, it was like these strong women that were trying to come up in their careers and they would put up with being harassed because it's like, well, fuck it. This is just how I climb up. You know what I mean? Like this is how, mm-hmm. And I feel like you put up with that with any kind of abuse or any kind of whatever.
It's oh my
like,
God, Stephen was fingered by his old boss.
No, but you'll
which one? Did he get fingered by like a band teacher or something?
For
happened?
Sure. For
no,
sure
but you'll just put up with things because that's how you come up.
Right.
I mean, to be honest, did you see Chappelle's bit about that on his new special?
Yes.
Yeah. So like that was super poignant where it's like, you're not going to get anywhere unless you get that thick skin and can take it and can kind of like realize when to push back, especially in job situations, especially.
Yeah. And even, but I think it's even then, but even that's a little bit easier when it's your family,
yeah,
there's this
families.
Fine line between like having thick skin and dealing with it and like, oh, it's just a different personality.
Right.
And then being like, okay, this is unhealthy for me.
Yeah.
And this is fucking with my self-esteem and my happiness.
Yeah.
And it's so sad because part of you goes like, And people are like this, and really, even like when your mom with your dad, and my grandparents are in the same kind of thing. Like my, and I love them and they were always cool to me. My grandfather is, and I think that it's like, they're similar age. No, they're like older. They're like 10 years older than your parents. My family's real slutty. They started popping out kids when they were like 18, 19. But they've been together for so long and he's so fucking mean to my grandmother that she, and they're old now and they have to live together. My grandmother will just cry on the phone to my mom.
Yeah.
Because my grandpa's so mean.
My, which, and this is what makes, is my mom doesn't even cry anymore about anything. Like she, it's just like an acceptance.
Right.
That she's just like, this is my life. It's been this, which my whole thing with her getting out is like, cause she is very sick, and, but like she's, you know, she just had a thing. Her test results were, to quote the doctor, unremarkable. Like nothing's going in either direction.
Okay.
Like it's just kind of like just cancer's just steady. It's so just a steady stream of cancer. But it's not getting worse. It's not getting better. And she feels fine. So I don't, you know, whether she has 6 months or 2 years or fucking 10 years or whatever, however much time she has left. I'm like, wouldn't you want to it to be enjoyable? Like, wouldn't you want to be able to like go out to lunch with a friend? And be able to sit at your house and not be have someone just talking at you.
Right.
Nastily all day long. And making you like, while you're very sick, making you wait on them hand and foot.
Yeah. People get, it's so interesting. And this is like a thing, like, and I think, I mean, not, I think it's pretty clearly why we even had the idea for the podcast is talking about like, make changes. If you're not happy with something, make a change. If you want to do something, do it, try it, do it. Because people get so stuck in all these different, whatever kind of a rut or cycle you're doing with your life. Even if you're not happy, you go, well, this is just what it is. And it's like, no, but you can change it.
Yeah.
Not, you can't change everything, but there's certain things you can change. And so like, you know, with all the different things and like, you know, we're going to do like, try to like quit smoking or whatever. But with all the, you know, we do silly challenges and we do real ones, but the real purpose behind it and the message is like, change something because it's still your life. And you like, no matter how late in the game, if you've been in a relationship for 10, 12, 30, 40, 50 years, and then you're miserable. That's my grandparents. My mom is always telling my grandma, she's like, just divorce him. And she's like, well, we've been together for so long. And it's like, okay, but no. But so then the rest of your life, you're going to just sit in the shit.
Exactly. And you're just going to stew in it and be miserable and unhappy. But I do think, I mean, clearly my mom deals with it better than your pussy grandmother who's crying about it.
I know.
Like, I mean, get it together, lady. Jesus. Stiff upper lip. Come on. But like you just, yeah, when you're in it for 40, 50 years, you're just like, this is my life. This is what it is. I'm not going to change. Like my mom, when my dad was in the hospital and I went over there and she's going through bills and she's like, I haven't paid a bill in so many years. Like she was like that shit. And she's like, I feel like a 1950s housewife.
Yeah.
Whose husband just died just, suddenly. And she's like, what's
she
a checkbook?
She just doesn't know how to do it.
Yeah.
Right.
Because it's, and she did it one, but she hasn't, he doesn't let her deal with the finances or anything, which is another fucking control issue.
That's so fucking controlling.
Exactly. Have you guys, of course it is. Of course it is. It's intentional.
Yeah. It's so crazy because I feel like you always look at that stuff in hindsight, but when you're in it, it's hard to admit to yourself.
Well, because in the moment when you first start, like when you first start dating somebody, right? And so, I mean, if we're talking about like toxic relationships, when you first start dating someone, and if you get married and they're like, I'll take care of this, I'll take care of this, I'll take care of the bills, and then I'll just give, this is your allowance that you can have. And then and you're like, great, thank you. And
yeah, like, that's, you know, easy. What? That's easy for me. I don't have to do anything. And then like, I just get,
oh,
money.
You know,
perfect.
What? Oh, you know what? You don't work. You don't have to work. I'll work. Mm-hmm. So you can just quit your job and stay home and just kind of hang out. And you're like, oh, this is great. But you don't realize. And sometimes that can be from an altruistic place of just being nice. But a lot of times, unless, which sounds crazy, but unless you're in like a sugar daddy situation where it's a very clear cut, like, and you're being open about it, and that's the nature of the relationship. A lot of times that's a control mechanism to just be like, and now what are you going to do without me?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Cause then it's like, you can't take care of yourself.
Right.
Which is my mom, you know, my mom was a waitress and then she had me and she was a housewife. So when they did get divorced and my mom got a job at Kohl's, she was working at Kohl's.
Yeah.
Where like, you know, that's a company where they won't let a person work full time because then they have to give them benefits and stuff.
Right.
So she's working a minimum wage fucking job for 25 hours a week. How's she going to live?
Right.
How do you pull out of that?
She's just got to steal all the Kathy Lee merch and sell it on the black market.
they have some real good Lauren Conrad stuff now. I went the other day to pick up my Vera Wang leggings. Lauren Conrad, LC, doing good.
I love those Vera Wang leggings. I still have the pair that you gave me.
Best.
Even though they have holes in the pussy, I still wear them because it's good ventilation. I went
because there's no fucking Kohl's in Los Angeles. Shout out Kohl's. You're terrible. You're in a terrible employer, but goddamn it, you have good leggings.
Where are you? All the stores.
I went and I bought every pair of fucking medium leggings they had. Medium black regular leggings. I got 6 pairs. It was all they had. And because I'm like, now this will last me. The pussy will blow out in a year, but whatever.
Right.
I got leggings for next year.
Here's how we're going to help your mom make money. She just steal the merch from there, rub her pussy on it, sell it on Craigslist.
Oh, yeah.
You didn't even think about it.
Hey, when next time you're out here, hopefully she'll be at my aunt's. We'll go give her a tutorial in sugar daddy. Yeah.
And hopefully I'll be on my mucus peak and we can...
My mom would love to hear all about your mucus feet.
Would she? Oh, you think this lethal?
She'd be like, this is a whole other form of psychological torture. What is going on?
And I'll sit with your mom and I'm like, I agree with you. Megan's a dumb piece of shit. This Lisa Frank book, you can't get money for it now, but give me 5 minutes in the bathroom.
And we'll see if these, my pussy all over it.
See if these unicorns can't fly. They're slipping and
scratch
sliding.
And sniff. Scratch and sniff. Ew, it smells like a pickle. Is this a dill pickle?
Oh my God.
It's a unicorn, but it smells like a can of tuna. I don't get it.
There we go.
Wow.
It smells like a can of tuna, but it looks like it's covered in egg whites. I'm very confused.
Megan, what are you...
But hungry.
What do you like with your mother? Like, what's your... Are you guys like... Can you talk to her like a normal human? Because some people they like revert to kid mode. You know what I mean? Like they're not adults.
I talk to my mom every day. I talked about everything.
Yeah.
I mean, we've never talked about my drug use. I think that's the thing. My mom likes. I still don't know. She must have known I was 97 pounds. But like,
does she talk about doing
drugs?
I mean, now I cross that arc where it's like now my parents are telling me about the times that they did drugs, and I'm like,
no, I don't really think my mom.
Actually, did we all did? I don't think I told you guys about this.
You had ayahuasca.
No, we were in Colorado. We went to Colorado. So I had that family trip. I had that crazy family trip where we all went to Colorado with my, you know, and that was the first time all four of us.
We drank real soda, the Mexican Coke with real sugar. And we got high as fuck. That's what sober people do for fun.
They all did edibles. And I was like, I'll look out for you guys.
I love that you said they did edibles.
You did edibles. Yeah. I mean, that was a big thing for my parents. They haven't done.
Did they toke? Did they toke some marijuana?
Yeah.
No, they didn't want to smoke it. They just wanted to eat it.
Well, edibles are better because you get a body high.
Yeah, but I don't think they did the right. They didn't go right for them.
Wait, you were like leading them through their high?
Yeah.
Oh God! What a nightmare!
I know it's kind of a downer. What a, but
talk about bad trips, yeah. Stephen's there.
If there's someone that's going to make you paranoid, it's me.
I was going to say, talk about a waste of money. Jesus Christ! I've done drugs around Stephen. You bore the drugs right out of your body. 5 minutes later,
just
you're
pulls
sober.
Pulls them out with long
sober
droning
right up.
Conversations.
I should actually sell that at bars late at night. I'll just say, hey, you want to sober up real quick? Tell me about your life. Yeah. What do you love?
Oh God!
Have a conversation with me for 20 minutes. You'll be able to drive this bus full of people back to Jersey.
Tell me about your relationship with your parents.
But yeah.
It's not necessarily a funny story. I mean, it can be. You could totally spin it to be funny.
No, but you know what? It is. It's necessary. I think everyone has those minor league toxic people in their life. I just think with a parent, it's just so complex.
It's true, but there is, everyone has, if miraculously they don't have a toxic person in their life currently, everyone's had someone in their life that actively makes your life worse and more difficult.
That you need to cut out.
But it's hard. A lot of times it's hard because, I mean, especially in my case where it's a family member,
right?
But even like a friend. Or like you said, like a coworker or a boss, like somebody that's just in your life. And also some people fucking get off on it.
Yeah.
And like
knowing
the drama.
Knowing that you're trapped and that you can't do shit about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they get so mad when you figure something.
Yeah. I have a friend.
Figure out how to rise above it.
A friend of mine who, we've been friends for a really long time since like junior high. And she's with this guy who, when they got together, he was like verbally abusive and would do, sounds like almost like shit your dad was saying, to your mom, you know, like would just call her dumb and like be the tiniest one. Like she would forget to go get an oil change on the car and she would be like, oh, sorry, I forgot to do that. And it would go from like, instead of like, okay, well, I'll just do it tomorrow, whatever. Just like, you're just like your father. You're a liar and a piece of shit and I can't trust you and fuck you. And just crazy, like out of nowhere. And she would get really upset. And what he did is he strategically, they moved together, but they broke up and then they got back together and he was nice. And then they moved, and I'm not going to say to which state, but they moved away and he essentially like isolated her from her friends and family. So she had nobody to talk to. And because he was not physically hitting her, she's like, well, it's not bad. I'm not
right.
Getting
it's hit. Not that.
And it was so bad. I saw her. She came to New York a couple years ago when I first moved here. And we're hanging out and I'm like, so how's it going? And she just broke down and just started sobbing. And I'm like, what's good? She's like, she goes, he's so mean and he's this and that. And I just don't know what to do. And I just feel like a piece of shit. And she goes, and I have no friends. I have nobody to talk to out there. He doesn't like, let me have friends. If we do something, it's, and I'm like, so you have to break up with him. You have to break up with him. And she's like, no, we're getting married. And she was, I'm like, don't, but why? But why?
Yeah, but don't get married.
And her excuse was, and I understand that it's hard for people to get out of those situations because you feel like you're going to be alone, but it's like, but being alone is better than being like shit on constantly.
Yeah, it is.
And also just have the confidence, like you can do it. Like you can make a big change. It won't be fun. It might not always go right. You might have to, but you can rise up out of anything.
But it is. It's scary when you get, when you're in a situation for a period of time and it's just, you're, it's what you're
it's
used
what you
to.
Know.
Right.
And especially when you're in that situation like my mom or your friend where you're isolated, you have no friends, you have no family, you're not allowed to really communicate with people.
Yeah.
Outside. And so you're like, this is the only thing I have is this person. And yes, they treat me terribly, terribly, but they're all I have. So if I leave this, I have nothing.
Right. Well, but especially like listen to a story, like you listen to the story about like your mom. And then I feel like someone like your friend could hear that and just recognize it and just be like, oh my God, if I don't do this now, like if I let this, like the longer you stay in and the longer you allow it, just, it doesn't get better.
In theory, you'd think that, but and I tried to even impress upon her with my grandparents where I'm like, look at my grandmother is so, she's miserable. She's miserable. And my mom's like, move in with us, divorce him. And she's like, well, we've been together for so long. That's my friend who's, when I was like, well, what are the, why stay with him? What are the pros? And she goes, well, we've been together for 7 years and we just got a house together. Those are the reasons for staying with him. And it's like, and it's so scary. And especially the old, like, and that's, I think for me, why I've got such a, where my longest relationships have, the two longest relationships I've had are 2.5 years. Because I'm terrified of getting stuck in a situation because I see my grandparents and my mom and stepdad are happy now, but you can just see where that's like, and even my dad with his marriage, his third marriage, he's with this woman and she's cool. She's whatever, but she kind of sucks and she's kind of boring and they don't really, you know, but his, what he said is he's like, well, I don't think she'll cheat on me. So he's just kind of settling for someone that won't leave him because he doesn't want to be alone. And that bums me out so much. And I'm like, well, I'd rather just be single because.
Right.
Well, that's why I was, that was another thing my dad brought up, which I thought was really, is like in between calling Preston a piece of shit, you know, just like, oh, all your boyfriends suck, and starts bringing up like my high school boyfriends.
Right.
And like,
but the, really he's trying to
that I was
shit
doing drugs with.
You.
Oh, well, yeah. But he's like, so, and I was like, yeah, that's why that's not my boyfriend anymore.
Right. Right.
Yeah. That shitty guy that I dated. Yes. I'm agreeing with you. That was a shitty guy. That's why I'm not with him anymore.
Right.
But like, that's why I was single for a very long time before I met Preston. Cause I would date dudes, but I was like, I'm not going to just be in a relationship with someone just to be in a relationship with somebody. I'd rather be alone.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, I'm not going to just get in a relationship, especially like seeing my mom and that, how my parents have been their whole, I'm like, I don't want to end up like that.
Right.
Like Preston could not be further from my dad. Like in every possible way. He's nothing like my dad, which I'm lucky I ended up with that. But that's, I was like, I'm not going to end up with somebody that's anything like my dad.
Right.
Because I don't want to be in that situation ever.
Yeah.
Like relying on a man terrifies me. Because that's how my mom was. I love my mom. My biggest fear my whole life has been ending up like her, like in the same situation. That's why I'm super crazy about money. That's why I work my ass off because I'm like being financially independent. Oh, that truck agreed with me.
Yeah. I know.
Financial independence is important. But that's, I'm very independent. I have my own friends. I can be alone. Like, all those things are super important to me. And I think it's because seeing my mom not be anything like that. Like, it's like growing up and your parents a drug addict, so you never do drugs.
Right.
Right.
Or the opposite.
Or the opposite. Yeah. Or the opposite. My parents never did drugs or smoked, and look at me now.
Put them in me. Put them in me. All of them.
I'm trying to replace my organs with tea bags.
Hey, that would work. Like, a liver soaks in toxins.
I bet sure. I could make something like that work.
Let's fashion a liver out of loose leaf tea.
I bet we could do it.
We'll get a porous sock.
Yeah.
Roughly liver shaped.
Right. We could totally do that. You're like running a bake shop now. So I'm sure you could find a way
I'll
to
bake you
you're
a liver.
Bake me a liver.
It's true.
Could you just put a sponge in there? Right? A sponge?
Yeah, sure.
It's probably the same.
I'll cut a liver shaped sponge for you.
Yeah.
Toss a tampon in it.
And just jam it in there. Yeah, you can reach the liver through the pussy, correct?
Mm-hmm. Correct, yes. Or yeah. I was just Steven, grab like a knife and cut a hole in your side.
I was thinking, like, there needs to be a hole from somewhere, but, you know.
Yeah. We just need to fill you with holes. Yes. You need more holes.
That's what I need.
I'm a doctor.
For us to shove all these tampons in you.
I know. And then we'll pull them out when I need extra cash. Boys.
Who wants my liver tampon?
You ever fucked an abdomen? Oh, no. I don't mean a disembodied.
Whoa. Disemboweled?
Disemboweled? I don't know what I was trying to say.
What are you trying to say?
I don't know what I was trying to say, but my brain wouldn't let me say it. My brain would not let me say it.
It would not. That was journey. That was a journey we just went
that was,
on.
Oh,
to not even get to a destination because we still don't know what word you were attempting to say.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, that was not, a journey normally has an endpoint.
It was just like a quick jaunt. And then you forgot, right. Like, when you wake up in the middle of the night and you go to the kitchen and you're like, why am I in here? That's what that was.
Yeah. Oh, that's every time I go anywhere. That's every time I talk. That's every time I wake up anywhere. I'm like, what am I doing?
I'm in my own house. Why?
Why? Where am I? Oh, my God. That's like, well, I had a thing with, I dated a guy, you remember.
Mm-hmm.
And thankfully, if I wasn't doing, and I can see how... I remember being with him and I was like, oh, I can see how people stay in abusive relationships. I 100% see it. Now, thankfully.
What was it about that relationship that made you feel that way?
Well, because he was like emotionally abusive. And then towards the end, physically, which is crazy because he's handicapped, but he was able to like drink and do cocaine and get super strength. And he would like bite me and piss on me. And like, yeah, it was crazy. But you can see how, and it's a slow burn of getting this information put in your brain that you're a piece of shit and you're garbage and you're nothing. Yeah. And even if you're like, oh, whatever, they're just being rude. It goes in your brain. It's the same way, like positive thought, not to go back to the K-Wolf episode and like, maybe I will read these messages off this tea now that, but it sounds dumb, but positive affirmations, that stuff does work over time. Than that, because it's whatever your thoughts are, that's your reality, that's how you behave.
But it's the same if you're stuck in a negative thought cycle.
Right, and you can see that. And then the other thing too, and this is a fucked up thing, and I don't know if you and your mom have had this conversation, but this is something that I know from being in a situation like that. It was so hard to break up with even though he was so mean, so mean. That's why I shaved my head the first time I shaved it. He accused me of cheating all the time. Anytime I wasn't with him, but I was like working 50 hours a week, Whole Foods in the farmer's market and then doing shows at night. And so I couldn't be with him all the time. And he would just blow up my phone and just text me, where are you? Who are you fucking? Who, you know, everybody wants to fuck you and you're a slut and you're this and that. And I'm like, I'm not. And, but I was also doing comedy. He's like, you're hanging out with comics. And everyone wants to fuck you. And I'm like, nobody wants to fuck me. I'm not good looking. I'm not. And I already think that kind of shit anyway. And so I would say out loud to him, these are the reasons why people don't want to fuck me. And I'd be like, I have small tits. I'm fat. I'm ugly. I'm this. My shoulders are like, I would list all the negative things to him verbally and via text to try to like make him feel better.
Ugh. Yeah.
Because when you get in a situation like that, and it was a fully codependent relationship. So I would do that to try to make him feel better. But then what I was doing was listing out negative shit, I thought, and looking at it all the time. So then now you actually feel that way all the time. And so then that doesn't give you the confidence to leave. And the other thing that I found this, and thank God, if I wasn't doing stand-up, I don't know what would happen. I mean, I thought about killing myself after I broke up with him because I was so sad. Because even though it was annoying that he was texting me all the time and being shitty, part of your brain goes, and they say this shit to you. Abusive people will say this to you.
He's doing it because he cares.
He's like, yeah, it's because he cares. He's like, I'm sorry. I just love you so much. I just get so crazy.
Yeah.
So that's another, I don't know if your dad followed up, you're a dumb idiot with, that's just because I love you so much. But
no.
Yeah. So I don't think your dad, yeah. But a lot of times abusive people, they'll do that. They'll be crazy. And then they're like, I'm sorry. It's just because I love you so much.
So much of that comes from they hate themselves so much that they know that, like, if this person, you know, they're so afraid that you're going to leave.
Right.
But also they're driving you away at the same time. I mean, what I'm kind of mentally stuck on right now, and I'm trying to figure out how to articulate just to even ask you guys.
Well, don't ask me because I couldn't say dismembered.
I was going to say, just be like Wendy, just say whatever comes to mind, even though it's the wrong word.
Just start with a consonant sound and disembabada.
I know I might be really, really flailing.
You
want to
fuck a disembabada? Huh?
Actually, I do. That sounds like a Yo Gabba Gabba character, which would essentially be an Aquabats character. So I'm on board.
Yeah.
I will for sure fuck a blah.
With those men, when they see cycles of emotional abuse, when they can see that, I mean, you feel like they can see it. There has to be a point that they can see it. If they recognize it and want to pull out of it when they're younger, your dad, I don't know. But where do you think that they could even begin to deal with it?
Because
I've seen things that I've done in my past relationships when I was younger and tried to be like, okay, I hate that was my reaction. I hate that I did this way, and then try and learn and evolve from it.
I don't know about that side of it. So that would be, I can't really speak to that. I mean, I can speak to the being on the other side and getting out of it.
Yeah.
Because I think, and it's not on because, and here's part of it. And this is because I understand if it's like, oh, you realize you're being an asshole. And then how can I change that? Right.
Mm-hmm. So, which I think everyone's done. Everyone's said things that they were like, oh, that was fucking, that I crossed the line. Yeah. That was not okay. Right. But that's very different than like habitual this.
Well, there's a difference between
habitual abusive behavior.
There's a difference between even recognizing it and seeing that. And I mean, that's just defining like, okay, you're a sociopath. You're never going to change. You're, you know, you don't even understand that you're doing this, you know, but I think there's a difference. I think you can tell when someone understands it and is capable of change versus just belligerently leans into it and is very
well. And from the other side, and so here's the, and this is talking about like just the basic theme of like taking charge of your life, mm-hmm. whether it's something, you know, fun like learning a new language and having a zombie pop up, or like you're in a
take me back to that.
I know. Or like something serious like this, where it's like, okay, if you're in a situation with a toxic person and an abusive relationship, how do you get out? Because it's mm-hmm. so difficult. And you have to, there's just something like, if I didn't have comedy, you can see how you get stuck in it, because he was drinking heavily, and it would be, he would drink and then do drugs, and then they would have these crazy outbursts. Now in my brain, I can remember I said to him, I said, look, here's the ultimatum. You got to quit drinking. If you drink again, we're breaking up. And I tried to break up with him like 3 or 4 times. And then I was just like, but it was codependency. So it was partially love, but it was for sure codependency. And if I'm being honest, the best sex I've ever had. That's a problem with a lot of abusive relationships, is you're having like phenomenal passionate sex.
Cause crazy goes. Yeah.
Yeah.
They always say crazy women are great in bed, but it goes both ways.
Yeah. No, how about your mom and dad? Are they fucking a lot?
Oh yeah. They can't get enough of each other.
Yeah. But I remember, and then he drank again and he just didn't call me for like a week. He was on the road. He didn't call me for a week and I knew something was up, and he was really, and I remember he was freaked out and I was so sad and I thought about taking him back, but the way that my brain worked, and I think a lot of people, and it's, you know, there can be women that are abusive to men and I get that, but let's be real. It's mostly dudes being shitty to chicks.
Let's be real. It's like a female serial killer. There ain't a lot of them.
Right. Yeah, and if they are, Charlize Theron's playing you in a movie.
They're real good at it. If they are, they're really good at it, and they never get caught.
They're the best.
But like, the part of it is, I remember with Sean thinking, I was like, well, if he loved me more, he would quit drinking. So let me just like be nicer to him, and maybe he'll stop being mean to me. Or like, oh, if I was prettier, or if I was thinner.
But you never recognized it, that all of that was out of your control.
No, because
But of course, now she does.
Now I do. Once you're out of it.
Yeah.
But when you're in it, it's like anything else. You can't see, you don't see how fucked up it is, because you're in it. It's every day and you wake up and you deal with it. And so, you know, if someone's calling you stupid and fat all the time, you're like, well, okay, well, so then maybe if I just lose like 10 pounds,
yeah.
Then he'll be nice to me. And then you do those things. Well, and you know, and then now it's like, okay, well, you're not as funny anymore, but you're still a dumb idiot. And it's like, okay. But like, so maybe if I like read a book,
maybe I'll read this book about this guy who broke his dick. Then he'll think I'm real smart.
Right. You know? And so, but it's this crazy cycle where
he would charge you of falling for the guy that broke his dick.
Yeah. But no, it's really fucked up. And it's so hard to see like when you're in it, because I think, and women tend to be our personality traits for the most part, not always, like people pleasers. And we want to make people happy and feel comfortable.
You want to be nurturing. So a person who's like that, you're like, oh, I need to like, it's very much the stereotypical, like, oh, I just want to fix you. I need to fix you.
Right.
I can make this better. I can make you better.
Yeah. And the longer you do that at some point, and I know you were asking about like, well, what about as the abuser? How do you adjust
not
when
only
you're being
that,
shitty?
But women date me as a fixer upper. Like, because I'm so sad, so honestly sad, you know, like, especially when I was younger, like you knew when women would get into relationships with me, it's like, they always want to come in and fix you and help you. Oh, I can make you happy. And really,
are we the first two women in your life that are the opposite of that?
And they were like, get more sad.
That's
hate
why,
yourself more.
That's why,
oh my God. We
you.
Are Sean and my dad to Steven. We are Steven's my dad.
I know. Oh my God.
Am I an abused housewife?
Yeah.
You are an abused housewife. Go make me a sandwich, you dumb fat whore.
Yeah, oh. Give me that checkbook, you cuck.
I'm going to make you the best sandwich. I'm going to fix this.
See, it worked. He's going to go make us the best. Okay. I got to end this podcast and call my dad and apologize because it's all making sense to me.
Yeah.
Lifetime of abuse suddenly makes perfect sense.
Right. Yeah, we're all mad at each other. He's like, oh, now I get it. You know what, Mom? You're being a whiny bitch.
And you know what? Get back in there.
If we're being honest, I never thought you were that smart anyway. Who saves a sticker book?
Yeah. You and your cancer-riddled body, go do the fucking dishes, then make me and Dad sandwiches.
Yeah, we're taking the dog for a walk around the park
in the stroller.
Holy shit.
Full circle there.
Really? Thank you guys for making me laugh at that hard.
See, we told you it could be, you can make anything funny, goddammit.
Yeah,
damn
we can
it.
Make anything
really,
funny.
You really have proven yourselves once again.
See, look at that. We
I
did
have
it.
To say,
I hope my mom never listened to this episode. Oh, Jesus.
You know what? I love this topic. I know we're not going to properly, there's no resolution.
No,
here.
Well, here's the thing.
This
there's
is
not,
just,
there's not, a, this is like a real life jam session, real time.
Well, and there is a resolution to this because maybe my mom will follow through and move in with her sister and, you know, get away from my dad.
I actually do have a question for you guys. So I think one thing that for younger people that are listening, that are just dating or they haven't had the relationship experience or whatever, but it's like, you guys are, you know, you've been through some shit. You guys are old. No. But
yeah,
what,
you guys are old
you keep
and
talking
haggard
about these red flags.
And lived
like, let's
real
give
gnarly
people
life.
A, what's a coherent list of the red flags that you've seen now with hindsight being 2020 that you were like, fuck, I wish I would have had someone just brutally lay that out for me in an honest way. Like, if this is happening, just red flag, raise it up, you know, be aware of what's going on in your life so that you can make changes. And
well, I think that's as far as dealing with a toxic person, like, 99% of the time that person isn't the first time you know, hang out with them or go on a date, gonna call you a stupid fat cunt.
No.
Like
no.
It's gonna start very
it's
small.
Like two
so
years
the
deep.
First yeah. Or, you know, 6 months or whatever, like I had a boyfriend who everything was fine and then we got in a fight one time and in public he shoved me on the ground and called me a fucking cunt.
Ooh.
And that came
physical abuse is a real obvious, like, whoa.
Well, yes, of course. But to me, it was more the like fucking cunt. It was the way he said it.
Yeah,
it was
right.
Very just like poisonous and like real nasty the way it came out of his mouth. But like before that, like there'd been little things.
What
like,
were the
we,
little
but
things
gotten in
before
fight.
That?
Well, just
that
we'd gotten in
you
fights.
Dismissed. Yeah.
Like just fight, you know, where like they got a little nasty. He never like shoved me or anything.
Did he like but punch walls, throw plates, anything that you were like, whoa.
Yeah, he'd do that. He'd like hit himself in the head.
Oh. Really?
Yeah,
he's hitting
crazy.
Yourself in the head. I've heard that before. Like that.
Yeah, but I feel like that's not very common. Like most girls listening are going to be like, "Oh my God, my boyfriend's been hitting himself in the head. I should walk out of this relationship right now."
I feel like that's one of those things. It's like it's kind of like breaking plates that you're like, "No, this only happens in my." But then you're like, "No."
But I think especially when you're younger, it isn't like of course there's like across the board red flags, but they're also, it's a lot more of as much as it sucks to say, fucking trial by fire, and just like, you got to go through it and you got to be in a relationship, and maybe, you know, it won't be as bad as like ones I've had or my parents or like what Wendy's dealt with. But you have to find, you have to figure out that line. Like, what, you know, someone calls you a bitch joking around, like that for some people might, they might not like that.
Right.
Yeah.
And be like,
Wendy,
that's the line.
Stop calling me a bitch.
Yeah. Well, stop acting like one.
Yeah. Stop acting like a bitch. Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, man. This is fun on the other side.
It Fair. Is. I like that. No, what? It gives you a feeling of power. No wonder people do this.
I know.
Wendy, let's start a new life.
This is amazing.
When Preston gets home, I'm just going to punch him in the dick as soon as he walks in the door.
Yeah. I really hope this podcast is helping people.
Yeah. No, but it's.
What? Learn how to be abusers? Yes, Stephen. Me too. We're giving them all the hot tips.
Yeah. These are all the hot tips. Red flags or things you should try at home. Whichever way you want to take this. You can take this either way. These are tips for both sides.
Welcome to my masochistic podcast.
See, we're helping everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. But there's so many things. And once you start to, and the problem too, I think, especially with younger people in relationships, or when, even when you're fucking an adult too, because I'm 36 and effectively, you know, for all intents and purposes, single. The relationships I'm in are like, and for the last 2 years have been, I mean, very kind of, they're structured and there are rules around them. So I don't, there's not the danger, but I think of the emotional part, cause that's what it is. I think with my guy that was who was really abusive. And there's another guy I dated who was lying to me the whole time, and he was married and I didn't know. And when I found out, I like went with my manager. He was working at a bank at the time. This is years ago. We like drove around and saw he had another car that he never told me about. And like, it was crazy. And when I asked him about it, full on secret life. And when I asked him about it, cause I just had this weird feeling. I remember we were in his van, which it was like a minivan. And he was like, oh, this is for work. And I was like, okay. Or for your kids.
Yeah. It's my work. I work at a bank. So I need this minivan.
Yeah. He was in medical sales. And so he was like, oh, I have all this stuff. And I was like, okay, cool. And I remember he made a really big deal about it out of the gate. When I first met him, he asked me out and he's gorgeous. And he was like, he goes, yeah, I drive a minivan. I don't have like a family or anything. I have like I remember he said this. He goes, I don't have like a secret family or anything. I just said work in medical sales and I just have all these.
And Stephen, you're asking about red flags. Yeah, that's a red flag.
If they give away the whole volunteering plot
weird information that you would never guess.
Right. And I remember, and I was at the time I was like 22 and I just broken up with my first boyfriend. And I was heartbroken and I was just like, nobody will ever love me. I'm so ugly and gross. And this guy was so nice to me and he was so handsome. And I was like, this is great. And we went out and I remember I'm not going to do the bit on the podcast, but I had real funny bits about it, but it is like, he had like a number one dad keychain. It's just like, oh, this is my dad's the best. But it was crazy. So there were all these different lies and
he's literally screaming no collusion at you. He's just like, yeah, exactly. No collusion.
Right. And I remember when I brought it up to him, we were in the van and we left it. And I said, I got a question. Cause he went away for a work trip and he was gone for 4 days and he was texting me all the time. And then he was gone for 4 days and I didn't hear from him. I was texting him and calling him and he's like, hey, I'm back. And I'm like, I didn't hear from you for 4 days, but normally he's blowing up my phone constantly. And he goes, oh yeah, I lost my phone charger. Oh. And I'm like, okay, now that sounds like something my brother would say, and my brother's a heroin addict. So like, you didn't lose your phone charger at a business conference.
So I just think, you know, when you feel those lies.
And I remember being really young and I was like, I'm going to troubleshoot this. And I'm going to be like, I'm going to just ask him, be straightforward. And I was like, I don't believe you. If you're married, you can be honest with me. And I was like, this will be a good move. I should ask him if he's married while we're in a dark parking lot in a car alone. And what he did was become very angry and get very still. And he looked at me and he goes, you just don't believe anyone, do you? And I remember, and I'm like, oh, no, I just, so I have, fun. And I remember his eyes switched and I was like, oh fuck, this is a bad
move.
And this
is how I get murdered.
And he took my head and he slammed it up against the glass in the window. And he was like, this is your fucking problem. This is why your last boyfriend left. Cause you don't believe everyone. And you think everyone's a goddamn liar. And I cried and I was like, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And then he drove me back to my car and I got out of the car and I was like, okay, well, I can't see you again. And he was like, well, I don't want to see you again if you're going to be a bitch and accuse me of lying. He's like, I was falling in love with you. And if you're going to act like this, and he's like, good luck. And so he slams the door and he peels away and he yells. And then I was so sad. And in my brain, now, when you're young, and even if you're older, because a lot of times those abusive relationships are paired with a lot of passion and fun. And so when you're young and if you've never experienced that, you think, oh, this is like, I'm in like a, this is like a romantic movie. I'm in like,
yeah,
you know,
exactly. You're there's like, so oh, much this passion.
Is what, And it's like, that's not
we
the same.
We love hard.
Yeah.
If you say dumb shit like that.
We love hard, but he hits me even harder.
Exactly. Exactly.
But so those would be red flags, and you can't.
Yeah. Big red flag. Getting your head smashed in a glass. That's a right. big red flag.
Yeah. And I mean, it didn't break or anything, which is why I started dating him when he sent me flowers 2 months later. And then he put me in like a mild chokehold in my apartment. And then that's when I was running the water while I was brushing my teeth because I don't care about the environment.
Oh God. So,
well, but I just think that speaks to something you hear all the time is that like, it doesn't get better. Like when those things happen that you're like, this feels crazy. And then you go back thinking like, oh, it can change. It can get, it never does. Have you ever heard a story where it actually someone improved?
No.
No,
of course not.
I mean, that's what I'm racking. I'm genuinely racking my brain about this. Like why do men do this? Why do men manipulate like this? Why are they this angry to begin with? Like, why do they have this inside them? And how do they
that's not a question we can answer.
No, right? But that's why I'm wondering, how do I start talking to other men and like have these conversations?
That's something,
I feel like no one's talking about it.
And I get where you're coming from. And I think that's a good thing to deal with. But for somebody listening to the podcast right now, because this is a trap and this is how women stay in abusive relationships, mm-hmm. is mm-hmm. women, instead of being like, this guy's being shitty to me, I'm leaving. They're like,
it's
yeah,
what
but,
can I do?
But,
how
but,
can
I? But maybe I can fix him. Maybe I can take him to therapy. And
it
ladies,
it ain't your fucking problem. Get out.
Yep. It's not your problem. Let him deal with it on his own fucking time and not while in between smashing your head into shit or calling you a dumb cunt.
Yeah. And who knows? Maybe he'll change and good for him. And then he can end up with some lady down the line, but it's not going to be you.
Right. I mean, I just want to say that as a disclaimer, because I understand where you're coming from. And that's a nice, and again, this is a kind of a similar theme in the conversations that the three of us have.
Yeah.
And it's not a bad thing, but it's just, I think it's good for people to hear. Megan and I have very different life experiences than you, and also being women and having been in these situations. So to look at both points. So it's nice for you to be like, what can we do to fix the situation? And that's a nice, if the problem is that the abuser is an asshole. Yes. In theory, yes, they should all get therapy and the homeless people should find something that they love more than men.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you need to get out.
But at the same time, if you're listening to this and you're in an abusive relationship, don't fucking worry about what their problem is. It's not like, oh, well, their mom was a bitch. Great. Who cares?
Yeah.
Who cares?
I'm sorry.
That's
my dad's an asshole.
Right.
But I don't treat Steven, kind of.
Right.
But I don't treat you, Wendy, like shit. I don't treat the people. I'm not like my father, who treats everyone around him like complete trash. But some people do end up like their parents in situations like that, where you watched your dad hit your mom. And instead of being like, I would never hit a woman, you fucking hit women left and right.
Yep.
But that's... It's the way your brain fucking handles shit and the way you process things. And that's why fucking therapy exists. And people make a lot of money doing therapy. But as far as if you're in a situation that's shitty, that makes you feel bad, you can feel sympathy. I feel sympathy for my father. I feel badly for him on a human level. I feel that it's very sad that this is his life, but it's not mine. And I can positively change my life. I can't force him to do anything and force him to be a better person and nicer person and change. I can put myself in a position where I don't have to be affected by his toxicity.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that's what you need to do. You need to look, you know, I do think there's something to be said about being empathetic with people and wanting to help everybody. I totally get that. But when it comes to, you need to help yourself.
Right.
You can't help others to your own detriment.
Yeah.
That's not healthy.
Right. And you can't change other people.
You can't force anything to anyone to change.
Yeah. People are going to be how they're going to be. And if they're being shitty to you, and it seems, and even if you're just in a relationship and it's always seems scary and like, and you've been in that situation, I've been in that, and it's the most terrifying thing. But like, if you're with somebody like that, tell your friends. Cause that's the other thing too, is people don't say anything. They won't tell their friends how bad it is. So like tell somebody.
They know that's because you know.
Yeah, because you already know.
You know it's wrong. When people don't want to tell their friends or excuse someone, the person they're with's behavior, it's because they know it's not okay.
Right.
Otherwise, you'd be like, oh, Preston fucking came home and called me a cunt and hit me last night again. I mean, these fucking men, you know what I mean? Like, no, nobody's doing that because you're like, oh, I walked into a door.
Right.
Because you know that if you told someone, oh, Preston hit me, I just want to, he's never hit me. He's uncomfortable slapping my ass when we fuck.
Like, right.
He would never, ever do anything.
Opposite of hitting.
Also, I could fucking take him.
Oh yeah. You can kick the shit out of him.
But like, because you know that if I said that to you, Wendy, you'd be like, what the fuck? I'm flying out to LA and getting you out of the situation because that's not okay.
Right.
So you never, people don't communicate that.
Right.
Because you know it's fucking wrong.
Right. Yeah. So you got to tell somebody. And then there are more serious situations where, you know, they're like spouses or your partner, or somebody, if you leave, they threaten to kill you. And I know that that gets that extreme sometimes. And we will have links in the episode since, I mean, we can probably find an expert to come in and do a follow up and give us like more specific information. But this was just like us doing an old school reverse jam sesh talking about
me and Wendy know everything about everything
where we just go like, okay, so this is what's happening with us. And maybe will be helpful to you because it's something that you're doing in real time and without, and we're not doing, it's not like a theoretic topic where we're
this is a conversation that's relevant.
This is a situation I'm dealing with. People might be in somewhat similar situations or have been.
Right. Yeah.
So again, if you need to talk, I'm doing a lot of driving between LA and Ventura and Orange County the next couple of weeks. So give me a call.
Yeah.
I got
but also just putting out there, like we cannot be people's sound. We cannot be your only means of support.
Yeah. Oh God. If we're your only means of support, we're so sorry.
I know. I'm like, please
don't make that before. If we're the
solution,
if you're looking to us for actual advice, please seek help.
Right. Yeah. If you were going to come, Wendy said I could stay at her place when I'm in New York. Well, then you're going to have to help me clean my roommate's shit off the walls. So, I mean, that's a whole other thing. That's a literal toxic relationship. It's not emotionally, it's fine.
Emotionally, it's fine. But physically, I am dying. I have a lot of lung disease situations going on right now.
This bitch is cooking chicken and smoking cigarettes at 7 o'clock in the morning, right outside my bedroom, and I have no ventilation. And so I got
what kind of chicken, though?
I don't know. It smells great.
It smells amazing. Well, it's that mix of nicotine and fried chicken.
Yeah. I love
it. Drop a little cigarette ash in that oil. Mm.
Yum. Yum-o. Yum-o. What am I? Rachel
Yum-o.
Ray?
Yum-o.
That's a Rachel Ray thing.
I don't know what's going on with you. A lot of words are happening out of your mouth that I've never heard before. Any human speak, let alone you.
I know. I'm having DTs. Not what your dad had. I'm just drinking a beer. I'm drinking a delirium. That's what's happened is I started chugging a beer and now I can't speak. Those beers that's a high fucking alcohol content in that beer.
I haven't had one in a long time. Let's have, in honor of my father,
yeah,
everybody go out, get a delirium tremens.